All right. Well, we are reaching the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. This is our next to last Sunday. Next Sunday, Steve Krantz will finish the book of Ecclesiastes. Been an interesting journey. I will cover the end of chapter 11 and the first half of chapter 12 this morning. And then, praise God, we're heading to the New Testament. We're going to be looking at the first book of the New Testament and the first gospel, the Gospel of Matthew. As Nikki says, she loves the book with red letters. It's a red letter book. Lots of things that Jesus is going to say in that book. It's a glorious book. So we're looking forward to that. But we'll finish up Ecclesiastes today and next Sunday. And we're going to look at the end of chapter 11, as I said, and the first half of chapter 12. I'm going to introduce this with a little story. As my mother neared the end of her life, she died on Good Friday in 2001, she would often say to me, "Jay, I just feel so grateful for the life that I've had. God's been so very good to me." These are the words of a woman who lived a long time. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. Betty Grant lived in an oceanfront condominium at the bottom of Bluebird, right next to the Surf and Sand Hotel. In love with the ocean and captivated by Laguna, she and my dad bought that condominium in 1960, moving to Laguna from Tustin, where I was raised. They paid $40,000 for this condominium in 1960, and my mom lived there the rest of her life. It was in that condominium that I watched my mother go from a young 40-ish, attractive, middle-aged lady right to the very end of her life. I watched her during those some 40 plus years, and she was an amazing woman. From the moment she moved into that condominium, she felt the most blessed person in the world. In her latter years, she would sit in a rocking chair facing the ocean, musing about her life. In the 1920s, my mother was a backup dancer in some Hollywood musical films. And just a few, and she hated it and got out of it as fast as she could. She did not like that industry at all. In the 1930s, she married my dad. In the 1940s, she had three sons. In the 1950s to the 1970s, she was a third grade school teacher in the Tustin School District. My dad died in 1991, and my mom lived as a widow for the rest of her life. She lived a long and interesting life. She was a beautiful redhead with green eyes while she was young. My dad was smitten with her the first time he saw her. He said he about went crazy when he set his eyes on Betty Grant for the first time. She died at 86. And in those last years, she would candidly talk to me about her life, and she would admit how difficult it was to grow older as she faced a number of age-related challenges. And she spent a lot of time at the doctor and went through a lot of issues, but she said it's not easy growing older. Our passage today is going to talk about growing older. It's going to talk about being young. It's going to talk about the whole gamut of life. In our passage today, the writer to Ecclesiastes will look at life from a vibrant young age all the way through to becoming old and frail. And we remind ourselves again that this book, Ecclesiastes, is written from a human perspective. In other words, well, we're going to see that God is mentioned twice in our passage this morning, but it's from a distance. The writer is not walking with God in a way that you and I would hope he would. And he's over and over said, life is meaningless and it's vain. So it's challenging for us as teachers to come to grips with passage to try to teach it when, as my wife said to me last night, it sounds like he's whining all the time. but we have delved some good things out of this book. So I want to look at the end of chapter 11 first in Ecclesiastes. Let's turn there in our Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're going to look at verses 7 through 10, and then we'll look at chapter 12, the first 8 verses there. So let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. I'm reading from the New International Version. I usually read from the New American Standard, but I just like the passage here in the NIV a little better. Light is sweet, verse 7, chapter 11, verse 7. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eye to see the sun. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. Let him remember something else, the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. Be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. So then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Like I said, he's not writing this from a God perspective. However, there is a lot of truth in here, what he's saying. Life is sweeter and easier when you are young. I can attest to that because I'm no longer young. In fact, I turned 69 in October, and I'm facing my next birthday of being 70. And it's kind of a shock to me. You guys, when I was in high school, like when somebody was 70, you just thought, well, life's over for them. They're going to die in 10 seconds, you know. But I feel great. I feel great, and I don't feel old. In fact, I think we're all getting younger the older that we get, because we're all getting closer to our home. That's kind of how I look at things. Amen. Amen. But from a human standpoint, you know, you look better, you feel better, you have a little more energy while you're young. I'm grateful to God that I've had good health my whole life. I've never spent a night in the hospital, and I've loved my life. A lot of the younger teachers here talk about surfing when they talk about what they love to do. But I loved playing baseball and basketball growing up, and that's what I enjoyed doing. And I had endless energy. I not only played a number of sports, but I coached lots of kids in town for lots of years. And had just endless energy, which this passage is referring to. And on Friday, Nikki and I and my grandson, our grandson Dylan, we were walking up the street, and there's a horseshoe rink that Mike Nelson, the electrician in town, built across the street from his house on Canyon Acres. And Dylan loves that horseshoe rink. And he said, horseshoes, horseshoes. So we walked up to the horseshoe rink, and I, you know, very proudly picked up a horseshoe and eyed the post a ways away, and I threw that horseshoe like that, and shoot, it went about 4 feet short of the post. And I thought, man, what's wrong with me? I'm gonna do better the next time. So I grabbed another horseshoe, and I threw it again, and it went further by about 6 inches. It was 4 feet short of the post. And I said to Nikki, I'm not as strong as I used to be. I mean, I really have to put an oomph in that thing to get that thing to the horseshoe to the rink, and it was distressing to me to not feel as strong as I have in the past. Now, verse 9 is a troubling verse to me. It gives some good wisdom, but it gives some really bad advice. The good wisdom in verse 9, you know, is to be happy while you're young, and God encourages us to be happy and to let our heart give us joy in the days of our youth. That's good advice. And I'm going to talk more about enjoying life to the fullest each day, each and every day. We have a special day to live today. I'm going to talk more about that in just a minute. But then he says, follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. Other translations say, just go after, just pursue what your eyes see, what you like to do. In other words, just do what you feel like doing. But know this, that God's going to bring you under judgment. Wow, isn't that an interesting verse to read in this book? It goes without saying that following the impulses and the selfish and sinful desires can often leave us with a lifelong consequences. Isn't that true? Following the desires of our eyes and what we see and going for that, we can often suffer a lifelong consequences from our actions. David said, Lord, forgive me for the sins of my youth. And immediately we think of Bathsheba and Uriah and that tragic story. And I think I could say, and I think many of us could say, that I did some pretty stupid things when I was younger, following the desires of my eyes. And just kind of, I see a few heads nodding. I think perhaps others in this room beside myself have done some pretty stupid things when you were younger. No, not Frank. Frank's never done anything. I think, Frank, I know you. I think most of us have done some pretty stupid things. I just remember when I was 18, we used to have the three or four of us. There was a car dealership on Harbor Boulevard that sold junkers. And back then, you could buy a junker for $40. So we would four of us go out and pitch in $10. We'd buy this junker, and we would go way, way out in the hills in Tribuco. Back in 1960, there was nobody out there. And we would get this junker, and we would drive it as fast as we could drive it. The thing would roll over. We would hit trees. I mean, it was crazy what I was doing. Like, how stupid can you be? I could have, died any moment. And we not only did this once, we did it about 10 times. Just like, you know, there's just something wrong with you when you're young sometimes. Of course, none of you did funny things like that, but okay, enough of that story. Let's look at chapter 12 now, the first eight verses. A truly clever, poetic, and humorous description of old age is chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Let's read those verses. I really had fun with this part of the text, so I'm grateful to Jeff for assigning me this passage. Remember, chapter 12, verse 1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars go dark and clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades. When men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire no longer is stirred, then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him, your Creator, before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well. The dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, says the teacher, everything is meaningless. He's not feeling too good about old age. I thought to myself this week, how am I going to teach this passage? It's obvious we have lots of allegories here to old age. How am I going to teach this? What I thought I would do, I was sitting in the upper room yesterday morning, after morning prayer, and I thought, I'm going to do my own paraphrase of these eight verses. In other words, I'm going to write out these eight verses as I see them. So I'm going to show you what I've written. It's Jay's paraphrase, and it's the way I'm going to teach the passage to help you understand it a little better. So if I could have titled this "The Last Stage of All," Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. This is my paraphrase of what we've just read. Honor God and don't forget Him while you are young, before the years tick their toll, and you say, "Can anything else go wrong with me?" That's exactly what my mom said to me when she was 85. Can anything else possibly go wrong with me? Verse 2. When the sun and the moon and stars fade, and you become testy and a grump. Verse 3. When you don't walk, you shuffle, because your joints are stuck and you're completely bent over. When most of your teeth have disappeared and you can't see anything. You can follow along here. I'm saying pretty much the same thing, you guys. Verse 4. When you can barely make it out of the house, you can hardly hear, and most nights you toss and turn because you can't sleep. Verse 5. When you are petrified that you're going to fall over and freak to even walk down the street. When your hair turns white, adorning a body that can barely get around, a body with absolutely no libido. When all this takes place, know this, the lights are about out and your friends are planning your funeral. Verse 6. Remember your God before your body is frail and life is over and your spirit returns to God who gave you breath. And then verse 8. I feel like everything is meaningless, says the teacher, that life is a joke. That's my rendering of chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. It's a classic, what is written, of course, in our Bible. And I'm going to give myself a shout out. It's a classic description of old age. Woody Allen said, I don't mind dying, I just don't want to be there when it happens. T.S. Eliot wrote, I grow old, I grow old, I shall wear the bottoms of my trousers rolled. You shrink when you get older. Elizabeth Wyckoff said, old age is not a total misery. Experience helps. And a beautiful quote from Victor Hugo about old age from Les Miserables. When grace is joined with wrinkles, it is adorable. There is an unspeakable dawn in a happy old age. There's a happy dawn in old age. My wife put her thumbs up. I'm just mimicking my wife. This is the difference. This is the difference between aging without God and aging with God. It is a huge difference. Because you can age, I don't care how old you are, and you can be as beautiful and as attractive at 100 as you were when you were 20. I'm thinking of this woman. Nikki and I, we flew to North Carolina and met Pastor Mike Montgomery, who used to pastor this church, and his wife Mary at the Billy Graham Retreat Center in Asheville, North Carolina. And we spent about a week there. And Nikki and I were walking down a trail one day, and we ended up at the Billy Graham Museum. And this beautiful, older woman met us at the door and says, I'd like to give you a tour of the museum. And I could hardly look at the museum because I could hardly take my eyes off her. She was about 80. Her face glowed. She was full of the Holy Spirit. Everything she said was gracious and it was charming and it was beautiful. I mean, she left such an impression. This is 4 years ago. I'm still thinking about her. because she was so beautiful. You are beautiful when you're older. I mean, you are beautiful when you are older and you are walking with God. Is Grandma Gloria here? Grandma Gloria, you are beautiful. She snuck out. Well, tell her that I said that. And you live with God and you live for God, and you're beautiful. And so this text here in Ecclesiastes, becoming old is not meaningless. When you're living hand in hand with God, as I get older, I could honestly say I'm happier at this moment in my life than I've ever been at any other point in my 69 years. I'm happier today than I ever have been. The end of chapter 11, the Message Bible says this: even if you live a long time, don't take a single day for granted. Even if you live a long time, don't take a single day for granted. You and I experience life. God has amazingly and graciously given us a life that is the sum total of our minutes, our hours, and our days that have been allotted to us, and how we should treasure those days, how we should treasure each and every day. Not just the good days, but also the challenging days, because everything that comes our way, God's in. Every day is a gift from God. Today, December 11th, 2011, is a wonderful gift from God for you, for every single one of you. This is not some random, meaningless day in your life today. This is a day that's filled with opportunity. This is a day brimming over with potential blessings. This is a day of endless possibilities. For you, Robin, you, Sonia, for you, Jesse, for you, Nikki, for you, Billy, this is an incredibly special and unique day. For all of you, this is a special day given to us by God. If you have eyes to see what God has for you today, you'd be amazed. Someone recently said to me, well, it was Richard. Is Richard here? There he is. Richard Emmons from the Friendship Center, Friendship Shelter, said to me 2 weeks ago, every day for me is a miracle. Every day for me is a miracle. May God open our eyes. May God open our eyes that we might see and be delighted in what this day has to offer. What God's prepared for us. What might come our way. Things beautiful. Things surprising. Things unexpected. Things lovely. Things that will fill our heart with joy. Would you like to have that kind of day today? It's there. God offers it to you. All we need to do is open our eyes and see what God's given us, like the incredible array of colors God's created, the joy of music. Look at the sky and the weather, rarely the same day to day, sunshine and rain and wind, the stars at night, that amazing moon the last couple of nights that has hung over Laguna. God has made it for us and for our enjoyment. Look at the faces of people. Look at the people around you. So special to God, every one of you. Everyone that you meet, so special to God. Each with an intriguing story behind their face. And on this day, may we choose to be a blessing to others. May we open our hearts to them. May we show love. May we be merciful. May we be forgiving and patient, compassionate, gracious, forgiving. May we smile today. May we hug someone today. Put an arm around someone's shoulder. May we think the best of others, not the worst. Tell someone we care for them. Be an encouragement. Shine some light into the darkness of someone's life. Give someone a word of hope. And even say to someone, I love you. I really love you. When you do that, when you smile, when you hug somebody, and you tell them that you love them, when you think the best of others, it's going to be a really good day. You can make every day a really good day. God's given us today. It's a very special day. It's not a random day. It's not a meaningless day. It's a day filled with God. It's a day which the Holy Spirit can do marvelous things in our life, in our church, with our kids, with our families, that God can shine forth in us and give us a day that is unforgettable. Every day has the possibility of being an unforgettable day when God is in it. This is the day the Lord has made, and He's made it for you, and He's made it for me, that we might express the life of God to other people, that we might be a blessing. Let us live this day. Let us live this day. Let us live every day to the fullest. Let us live every day to the fullest. Lord, I bless you, God, and I bless everyone here. I bless everyone here, God, that we could cultivate, Lord, we could cultivate an awareness of the beauty and the majesty of every day that you've given us, that we could live life in a grandiose way, God, and that we would be an extension of your arms, your hands, your eyes, your ears, to the rest of the world. I ask God for the little church by the sea, Lord, that you fill all of us with awareness of the beauty of you and the beauty of the life you've given us, and even more so, of the beauty of this day. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.